Hello, world. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show, the original personal computer radio show. We are preempted tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI-FM 99.5 New York. And I'm Hanky in the studio of PRN.FM with Joe King. You can listen to the stream and join us on the air with your telephone calls at PRN.FM to ask questions, share opinions, make comments by calling the toll-free number 888-874-4888.
And for those who don't have internet access or you have a limited internet data plan on your program, you can listen to us on the phone if you have an unlimited long distance on your phone. You can call 712-775-6850. That's 712-775-6850. But remember, that is a long-distance call. On my cell phone, I don't get charged for long-distance minutes, so that's a good one. You want to listen on your computer, you can also do that by dialing into PRN.FM on your computer. Go to Wednesday night at 6 p.m. You can click on our show at that point. You'll be transferred over to our podcast site, which is http://thepersonalcomputerradioshow.podbean.com/feed. And there's another way to do it. You can call in to 701-719-1003, and then they'll ask you to dial number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, or number 5 in order to choose this week's show or any week going back 5 weeks. 1 is our current show, and 5 is the oldest one that's on that particular server. If you want to hang up for another reason, or you're taking another call, you have call waiting, when you come back, it will resume playing where you left off. You can also fast forward or reverse if you want to get into another segment. Hank?
Today, you know, there are two HP corporations. One is called HP Inc., and the other one is called HP Enterprise. HP Inc. is what we have always known it as, the computer company. And they're the ones that sells the personal computer, the printers, and everything that had to do with the consumer level, whereas HP Enterprise was with the corporations. HP Inc. has announced they're cutting 4,000 jobs over the next 3 years, and many of the analysts are trying to figure out why are they cutting jobs. Well, basically, this year, the shipment of computing equipment at the consumer level has been flat. And the Gartner Group has been projecting that it's going to stay this way for the next 2 to 3 years. So HP is making adjustments on it. And the sad part is that 4,000 jobs will be cut. But it doesn't seem that the PC market is going to just disappear. It's there. It'll come back up again. On another point that I want to bring up is that it was announced that the Verizon Pixel phone, and that's really the Google Pixel phone, and I'm going to ask Joe, why did it come up with the name Pixel? Verizon has announced that if you were to be a subscriber getting the Google Pixel phone, whenever there's an update on the Google phone, you will get the update automatically at the same time if you subscribe with Verizon.
Well, if that's not confusing enough, I can try and make it more confused. The Verizon Pixel phone is not a different phone. It is the Google Pixel with the Verizon brand on it. And as usual, when Verizon went about testing the quality, which they insist on doing, they threw in some of their own garbage, which is now part of the system, and you can't get rid of it. But Google is still has the Nexus. There's two different versions of that. And the Pixel, and they chose the name Pixel, I think mistakenly, but they chose it to differentiate from the Nexus phone. There are two different manufacturers of Nexus phones, and they wanted to make sure that you weren't thinking that this was just another version of that. This is a unique product. I'm not sure who they're subcontracting to for the actual manufacturer, but it is separate and unrelated to the manufacturer of the Nexus. And One of the things about Android is there are so many variations on it. I use a version of it on the Samsung phone that I've purchased, and that is also a Verizon phone, and it was generally a year or a year and a half before I got an Android update, and that's why Verizon is making the point now that with the Verizon Pixel, it will be updated at the same time that Google updates any other phone, such as the Nexus.
And another front overseas, Ecuador said that they did cut the WikiLeaks founder's internet access to prevent the U.S. From their point of view, they want to prevent and not be a party to any U.S. election interference. And the reason why they feel it would be might be a party to it is that Julian Assange is in the Ecuador embassy in Ecuador, and they just feel that it was not, let's say, a diplomatic or smart move. Many people have said that Ecuador was under the pressure of the State Department. They denied this at all. The Ecuadorian government said that it was a unilateral decision, saying it had nothing to do with yielding pressure from a foreign state.
Hank, if I may interrupt for a second, a lot of people would not necessarily, unless they've been following this, would not necessarily understand why Assange was in the Ecuador embassy and has lived there for the last 4 years. He said he's under the government of Sweden has charged him with rape, a very disgusting crime, if you will, and Ecuador does not have an extradition treaty with Sweden. On the other hand, Assange has already stated that it's a phony charge. He says that it was dreamed up by the CIA of the United States, and that's one of the reasons he has it in for the United States. Ecuador, on the other hand, just doesn't want to be part of it. They're not ready to throw him out of their embassy, but they feel that he's been taking advantage by doing this from the embassy, and they've just simply limited his access to the internet.
You know, it was pointed out that although Assange had his internet access cut off by Ecuador, he did have a backup plan, and he has since resumed releasing information and papers via WikiLeaks. So I guess, you know, a good journalist will always have a backup plan.
And I don't think that Ecuador really wanted to go to the extreme of isolating him from telephones, from everything. They wanted to simply show that they're making a fair and a good effort to keep him under control.
You know, Yahoo's had much problems in the last couple of weeks, actually in the last month and a half, 2 months, with the fact that they had a 500 million user breach on terms of their personal data. And unfortunately, the timing is so mismatched that it doesn't look good at all. Back in March, they had applied for a patent, and they just were granted a patent in March of this, in March of last year. And they were just granted, and just something that they had submitted last year. And what it is that it's a patent that would abstract method and apparatus, which is a fancy way of saying taking information of which advertising channels in public spaces are configured. I'm going to read this to you because this is a tough one. To deliver adaptive and targeted advertising in real time. In other words, what they're saying is that they're going to track what the user is doing, combine that with all other information, and be able to come up with be able to select appropriate advertisement based on all that. And the techniques for doing it is being patented. And I had the diagram to look at it, and Joe looked at it, and he says, I don't understand it. What it is that when I read it in detail is that it's not just looking at the content, but they're gathering the content and the kernel, in other words, the communication method of transfer and capturing everything with it.
I read the same piece that Hank read. I read the court filing, and everything hangs on, in my opinion of reading this, everything hangs on the fact that the individual concerned has in his possession a readable instrument, something that can be scanned or something that projects a message. It's not as if you or I are simply walking by a store and being fed marketing so that we'll go into that store. It's you and I are walking by a store and we have some sort of a remote gadget hanging around our neck or pinned to our collar. And if we don't want to be tracked, we simply take that gadget off. If we do want to be tracked, we turn it on. That's how I read it. Hank read it somewhat differently. Until there's a lot of study, I'm not willing to make a comment on it. But if I'm correct in my interpretation, I'll tell you the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take that thing off and leave it in my desk drawer.
Now, wait a minute. I thought you said the first thing you're going to do is you're going to drop your Yahoo account.
And I don't have one.
Therefore, you're not subject to this because they're capturing the information based on you, the user.
Yeah, but you know, because I don't have the Yahoo account, every time Hank and I talk to each other several times a day, my office to his office, and every time we talk, he tells me about something that's happening at WBAI or something that's happening at one of the other organizations. Because I don't have a Yahoo account, I don't get the notices that he gets because these are Yahoo groups that these companies are using.
Well, actually, it's more than that, Joe, because what happens is that you get infected because I forward the information to you, so they get to you.
Sometimes they do, but not always. Very often, Hank has to give me the information, and it's a shame because I would like to get that information in a timely way, but I don't want all the other nonsense that goes over there. Yahoo is a very good system. It's not for me.
Well, let me just say that that part of the operation is being taken over by Verizon, and the buying price or the selling price for Yahoo was $4.8 billion. And Verizon.
Wait a minute, that was with a B?
B, with a billion. And Verizon says, you know, based on all this calamity that's gone on with this breach, it's not worth $4.8 billion anymore. And they feel that, and they had their lawyers go through and they said, you know what? We have two choices. We can back out of it, or we just offer you less money if we want to go through with it. And if I were a Marissa Meyer, I would probably say, tell you what, let's talk, and maybe I won't, you know, go as low as $3.8 billion, but maybe you're right, because I don't think that anyone's going to buy them anymore.
I'll be honest with you, Hank, I didn't think she was going to buy them.
You mean Verizon buying them?
I mean, Verizon was not going to buy into her, Theresa Meyer's program. I decided that this might be, even at that huge price of $4.5
billion. $4.8 billion with a B.
Billion. I didn't mean million. Verizon was getting a large number of clients. But I also felt that there was probably a huge amount of duplication.
Well, it may be duplication, but what I feel is that, you know, when you buy a company, there's two things you buy. One is the customer base or the cachet of selling a product, or the ability to say, you know, here are the Verizon products and you're using a customer list. But the other thing is the goodwill of a corporation. I think Yahoo destroyed the goodwill of the corporation.
Oh, I think you're overstating that. I asked several people, members of the New York Amateur Computer Club, because they also use Verizon, they also use Yahoo for their lists. And I asked each of them, maybe a half a dozen or 10 people, are you going to drop Yahoo now that you know that they've been totally hacked and the email is not secure? And you know what they said? That doesn't affect me.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, what happened last week was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back. For those who did want to drop Yahoo in terms of forwarding the mail so that they can save it, they made it difficult where you couldn't do it. So to me, that's another way of saying we're going to keep you, and I don't trust anyone that does that.
I understand. I'll again break that down for the listening audience. It used to be that if you left your Yahoo mail account, let's say you had an email address of joseph@yahoo.com, and I decided I wanted to switch that over to joseph@verizon.com, I could do it automatically every time, just the way you do a forwarding of your first-class mail with the post office. That's what Yahoo stopped doing, that automatic forwarding. On the other hand, let me ask you a question, Hank, just between you and me, because we know nobody's listening to this podcast. You drop your Yahoo account?
Not yet, because I have to take things off first.
Uh-huh. Not yet.
Well, no, actually, when I say take things off, I also have to notify people where they are sending me stuff there to send it elsewhere.
Okay, I'll tell you.
So that's why the forwarding was very important. And when they killed the forwarding, they said, oh, well, we were testing, okay? And then after people were complaining, they put it back in.
I'll tell you what, folks, stay tuned, because every week I'm going to ask Hank if he's canceled his Yahoo account.
I'm very close to doing it because I've almost cleaned it up.
I'll ask you next week.
Okay. You know, Joe and I was talking about something that came up, and we've read many different headlines on it. And one of the things that we find is that reading headlines can be very misleading. You get an impression of what is purportedly had happened as opposed to what actually happened. And I know in many cases when we see that, what we try to do is, if it's available, if it's a court case, go get the court case brief. Go get the PDF file from the government on it and see what the brief says. And that's what you go by. You know, you can't use some of these headlines. Has nothing to do with the contents of the actual information. It's just to grab your attention. But let me just read this to you that came out, all right? In May of this year, federal prosecutors made a request as part of a search warrant, according to a court filing uncovered by Forbes. Now, this is from the Forbes reporting on it. Those fingerprints were crucial. In other words, they get fingerprints. They were crucial to unlocking the smartphone. And the Department of Justice argued the following. Okay. However, the federal investigators went beyond asking for fingerprints of not one suspect. Instead, they sought authority to depress the fingerprints of everyone located at a California property. Legal experts says the request is probably unprecedented, according to Forbes. It comes as law enforcement agencies have been trying to find ways to bypass the security on smartphones as part of their criminal investigation. Now, they say that there's precedent for this in the case of with Apple. I think they're stretching it, Joe.
I agree with you that they're stretching it, and I look at it a little bit differently. I know what the court ruling right now is on blood, DNA, and other bodily fluids. You need to take a warrant for a specific person. You have to have good reason to investigate that person. You can't just do it because you don't like the way they look. Here they're saying, we want the fingerprints of anybody who had access to the security on that phone, not anybody who walked by the room, but anybody who could have used their fingers to lock the phone. And as far as I know, I read the brief, and as far as I know, they did not present a reason why each of those potential people should give up their fingerprint. It was just a blanket, hey.
But they got the court order approved.
I didn't read that, did they?
Yep.
Because I just read the court order. I didn't see whether
it
was
granted. When you get the court order, that means you got it.
No, it hasn't been granted yet when I read it.
The way I read it was granted.
Okay.
And if you think about it, after you read it, all that redaction, why?
Well, my assumption was that's why the redaction was there. It had not yet been granted. It's not uncommon to redact names and addresses in a court order before it's granted. Once it's granted, unless it's been sealed by the court, then it doesn't really have the privacy. It doesn't matter. What we're talking about here is how far can the government go? I remember, it wasn't too many years ago, Hank, when we talked about a piece of software called PGP, or Pretty Good Privacy.
That was Phil Zimmerman.
It was Phil Zimmerman, and it was an encryption program, which I still use, frankly, from time to time, but not too often. And the government said that he could not export it to England And the law that they used is a World War I munitions law that you could not export munitions. And I said, wait a minute. How far is the government going to stretch? We're getting into 1984. Now, usually, I'm very strong on pro-government when it comes to security. The only thing that stands between us and the bad guys knocking on our door is our government. And so normally I'm on their side. But a program that is going to give me some privacy in my email is a piece of munitions? At any rate, I don't recall how that really what the outcome was. Did Zimmerman win it or did the government win it, Hank?
No, Phil Zimmerman won the case. Or let me not use the word he won. He prevailed.
He prevailed, and the government had to go back and not have a blanket, but they would have to, if they didn't want it exported to an individual, they could then go to court and ask for that.
Well, you know, there are many laptops today where there is a fingerprint reader. And according to this, the way I interpret it is that anyone that can have access to that notebook or laptop with a fingerprint reader, the court can say, I need your fingerprints.
Well, I have such a telephone, and it can only read, when you set it up, it has three different fingerprints that it can be read. I use them all for three different fingers on my hand. But conceivably, I could have said, well, Hank has one finger, and I have one finger, and Jesse has one finger. And each one of us could therefore open the phone. Here the government is saying, yeah, but Jesse's colleague might have changed the phone, and Hank's son might have changed the phone, and your wife might have changed the phone. So we want everybody's fingerprint on record.
You know,
which,
what,
incidentally, if you read between the lines, that tells you something very important about the security of a fingerprint. Because they're saying that if they have a copy of the fingerprint on paper, they can use that to get into your phone. Now, carry it to the next extreme. If they can remove the fingerprint from your glass of wine that you drank last night, and we know they can because they use that in criminal trials, that means that your finger is not as secure as you thought. And what Samsung does is you can set it up so that you need both a password and a fingerprint.
Well, let me take a somewhat of an analogy, Joe. If the feds or the agencies suspect me of having committed a crime, and they want my DNA, they have to be able to show that there's a probable cause to force me to give my DNA sample. So how's it any different where they want it and they take it without even getting a specific court order?
And I am quite sure that you say that this one was approved by the lower court. I'm sure it's going to work its way right up to the Supreme Court. Unfortunately, we don't have a full Supreme Court at this point because certain people in Congress decided not to obey the Constitution.
No, they actually obey it because it's up to them to approve, and if they don't approve, then that's they're obeying it.
No.
It's your point of view.
It says, not a point of view, it says in the Constitution, advise and consent. They did not provide advise or consent.
Well,
so they did not do their job. I have a thing, forget this particular case, but wouldn't it be wonderful if all of our different government places, if they didn't do their job, they wouldn't get their salary?
Actually, I look at it differently. If they didn't do their job, we wouldn't have all the spending. Think
I don't follow
it.
That, but that's all right.
A do-nothing Congress doesn't spend any money, right?
No, a do-nothing Congress won't change anything that's already in place.
No, actually, it's worse than that. They keep adding to it with these, temporary measures that just go from month to month to month.
Well, that's not in what we're talking about. They're not increasing or decreasing the spending. They're just going along with what they've already done. But Congress is another story.
Well, let me ask you about this court case, though, with the with the fingerprinting. Can the feds go ahead and say we got a court order, or can the people say, hey, I don't know? Can you fight the government if you don't have the financial means?
No.
Therefore,
but
you
can
lose.
Get the help. In this case, they might be able to get help from the ACLU or from the Electronic Fund Frontier or other nonprofit organizations that are there to see that the law is enforced properly and fairly.
Well, I've spoken to a number of people on this, and there are two points of view. One is, I don't mind having this because if it gives me the security in the age of terrorism, it's the proper thing to do. And the other side of the argument is, this is part of the price we pay if we want a free government.
Let me give you a third choice.
Go ahead.
What do the terrorists want out of us? The reason they called terrorists and they're not called militants is they're trying to create terror. And if they have terrorized us so much that we're willing to give up our constitutional rights, then they've won. They don't have to go any further. They've already won.
I got news for you. In many cases, they've already won because 95% of the people have to take off their shoes at the airport.
Only people who fly.
Yes.
I've been to the airport three times.
No. In your case, you don't have to take off your shoes, Joe.
That's right.
You know why?
No.
Because you're over 75. You don't have to take off your shoes. If you're under 12 months of age, you don't have to take off your shoes.
Well, also, I didn't have to take off my shoes because I was just going to meet somebody, and I was not flying.
Oh, boy.
The problem there is that some airlines in the world have never had a problem and others have many, many problems. And you look at them and you say, oh, I know what we should do to protect everybody. But you don't. I don't. You don't. Hank May, I've never really discussed it with him.
Well, I know with you, Joe, that you know it's right when you say it, and you know that I'm wrong when I say it, right?
That's correct.
Well, I have a couple of public service announcements to make, so I know you're going to be in agreement with it. The Brookdale Computer Users Group, you know, where these are computer user groups, they have these monthly meetings, and all these meetings that we make announcements on are free, public, or open to the public. There's no membership requirement.
Well, what kind of people should go there?
Well, people are interested in joining or learning more about anything with personal computing, smartphones, you know, anything related to technology. And you have these groups that, they form these groups. They have these talks. And we encourage people to go to these meetings because it's not what you see in advertising about certain products. Sometimes you go to these user group meetings and you talk to the people and ask them, has anyone used? And you're going to get some very honest answers. So the Brookdale Computer User Group will have a presentation on ID theft, exactly what we're talking about, and how to avoid it, on Friday, October the 21st, which is this Friday at 7 p.m. They meet in Building MAS Room 100, Brookdale Community College, and they're located in Lincroft, New Jersey. The Princeton PC Users Group will be having their general meeting October the 25th at 7 p.m., and they meet at the Mercer County Library in Lawrenceville, New Jersey. Westchester PC User Group will be having a presentation on contact marketing. That should be quite interesting. It's on a Thursday, November the 3rd at 7 p.m., and they're holding it at the Keller Williams Realty Office, 120 Bloomingdale Road on the first floor in White Plains, New Jersey. The Amateur Computer Group of New Jersey will be having a very esoteric topic of presentation. It's called the Lambda Calculus and Other Esoteric Impractical Topics. I wouldn't even want to ever touch that. On Friday, November the 4th at 8 p.m., and they meet regularly at the Scotch Plains Rescue Squad in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. The Rockland PC Users Group will be meeting on Tuesday, November the 8th, which happens to be Election Day, and their meeting time is 7:15 p.m., Rassel Room on the fourth floor of the Palisades Mall in West Nyack, New York. And the New York Amateur Computer Club will be meeting on a Thursday, November the 10th, 2 days after the Election Day, on how Internet voting leads to a stronger democracy is the title of the presentation. They meet at NYU 32 Waverly Place in the Silver Building, Room 414. And those attending the meeting at NYU there, a photo ID is required. Joe, if people want a public service announcement made on behalf of these organizations? How do they do it?
These public service announcements, Hank, I'd like to remind everybody, are completely non-commercial. If your organization has a meeting that is open to the public, please send us the notice that you have, giving us the time, the place, a phone number if you need to have a contact, all the information you want given, and send it to pcradio@pcradioshow.org. You could also send it to pcradio@gmail. Those are two addresses for you, and we'll be happy to have Hank announce it on the air.
Yes, and I have a request for all these computer clubs, especially the Rockland PC Users Group. Link us to your website, pcradioshow.org. And unfortunately, the Rockland PC Users Group has us listed down as 8 o'clock on WBAI. We're on at 9 o'clock on now, Eastern Time on WBAI.
Among other things, the BAI people have arbitrarily changed our time. It's not the first time. It's happened to us maybe 5 or 6 times over the last 30 years.
Yes, I don't want to go into it anymore. Hey, Joe, you know, you have a Galaxy phone. And, of course, you know, with the Galaxy, they've had, let's put it this way, they have a $3 billion charge, against profits. In other words, they had one fiasco in the last 2 months, and that's on the Note 7. And, of course, if you haven't gotten notice of it, they even are recalling the replacement units.
Well, especially when they started recalling the let me go back a step. The batteries on the Note 7, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7, in several instances, I think there were 30-odd instances out of millions and millions of phones, they blew up. They caused a fire. They were bombs in your pocket. So Galaxy immediately, on their own, no pressure from anybody, they said, send them back. We will replace them. We'll happily replace them. And they went out to their engineers and said, quick, find out what's wrong and make us a new one. And the engineers quick went out. They didn't find out what was wrong, but they made a new one. And guess what? The new one blew up.
You know, some of the airlines have already said that if you bring one, even if you now don't operate it, they won't allow it on the plane.
Even if you have it turned off and in your luggage, it's still dangerous. Mm-hmm. If you by any chance still have one because you were unconscious for the last 2 months, please, Samsung will send you a fireproof container to put it in and return it to them. Now, the question becomes, Hank, if they have a replacement that blows up, what would you do if you were the company now? I know I would do exactly what Galaxy did.
Well, what Samsung did was they said, we stop all production, we drop the product, period.
There is no such thing as a Note 7 in the Samsung line.
Now, there's an organization called Branding Brand. I have to do a little more information lookup on it. But they did a survey. And they did two surveys, and both of them are pretty much, the results were very close. And in each case, they surveyed 1,000 Samsung Galaxy users, or actually, I don't think they're Galaxy users, they're Samsung customers, all right? And they're looking at the customer base. And 2 in 5 Samsung customers says they'll never buy from the Korean giant again.
That's 40%.
That's huge.
40% of... what, 30 million people or something?
Now, wait a minute. Does that mean that 40% of all all the people are South Koreans, or 40% are all international buyers?
No, I think it's not neither, but it would seem logical to me that 40% of the customers were both South Korean and European. And, hey, in this room... right here in this little studio, 50% of the people in this studio are not buying a Samsung device.
Now, wait a minute. You have a Samsung Galaxy.
I had already, even before the 7 blew up, I had decided I didn't like Samsung.
Is it because of support, design, or just reputation now, or what?
No, design.
Design?
Yeah, I have here a Galaxy phone, I've had it for about a year. I can hold it carefully, making sure that none of the side buttons, there shouldn't be any side buttons, but none of the side buttons are being touched. I can hold it and look at it, and suddenly the screen will change. The thing I was reading will disappear. The person I was talking to is not disconnected, but several times they say, hello, hello, is there anybody there? I can't hear you. There is something about, now, Hank is looking at me and saying to himself, well, maybe you have a lemon, Joe. How can you condemn a multi-billion dollar corporation for one phone? I go a little bit differently, Hank. As far as I'm concerned, and in my personal experience, 100% of the Samsung phones are bad.
No, wait. Now, let me ask a different question, okay? Suppose you were looking to buy a microwave oven, and Samsung has one that was, from all reviews you've seen, pretty decent. Would you buy a Samsung microwave oven?
You want to know what my microwave oven right now at home is?
What is it?
It's a Samsung.
Okay. If you need a replacement, would you buy it?
Absolutely. I've had no problem with it whatsoever.
So to qualify what you just said, it's only with the phone.
100% of the Samsung Note 7s that I have ever worked on. No, I'm sorry. 100% of the Samsung Galaxy Note 4s that I have ever worked with, 100% of them are bad.
Would you buy a Samsung tablet?
No, I won't buy anything computer-oriented from Samsung.
Not even the computer?
Nope, because their quality control, their quality issue. Your son...
Now, wait a minute. How is that any different from a microwave oven?
Different QA team.
You think so? Well, well, let me put it this way, Joe. I think that what you're saying is that anything that relates to computing, you would not buy Samsung, but anything other than that, you would.
Well, it's a different QA. Your son is involved in quality assurance in a variety of companies.
Mm-hmm.
If your son...
He takes it one product at a time. He doesn't...
That's my point.
He doesn't besmirch a whole division.
If he's looking at a product that his corporation makes, he doesn't assume that, well, if they've made this very bad engineering decision in the oven department, the refrigerator department is just as bad. He knows that there are different engineers involved.
Well,
or maybe he doesn't.
Let me take something that is somewhat related, okay, Joe? Volkswagen, the way they had sold the diesel engine car had nothing to do with the gas car, you know, the gasoline-driven car.
No.
Now, in other words, you wouldn't even buy a gas-driven car from Volkswagen because of that.
I used to have a partner, business partner in Europe, and he used to say to me, Joseph, when the fish stinks, it's from the head down. And what he was saying was that the management of Volkswagen had made a very bad, virtually illegal decision, and as far as I know, they did not change their management. They changed their car.
Now, wait a minute. In the case of Samsung, they did not do anything illegal.
No,
they actually
are.
In fact, they've been very honorable.
But it was bad engineering.
But yet, when it comes to a kitchen appliance, that's okay.
The kitchen appliance is not a battery-operated technology device. It's plugged into the wall.
Oh, so you're saying it's only anything that's battery-operated.
And portable and technically involved.
Okay, well.
I think it's their technology team that should either be fired or questioned, sent back to school.
You know, last week we were talking about a class action lawsuit against Google on ageism. And, of course, what we reported on was that a lower court judge said that the class action suit can go forward and that the proof needed is much less than what is required in a trial. And one reason was because there was a person that was interviewed over a period of, four times in a period of 6-7 years, stated that she was asked to supply graduation dates from the schools that she attended. Of course, that's a way of finding out what the age of a person is. And I guess that's not legal, or is it legal?
I don't know if it's legal, but right now in this country, nobody asks for graduation dates because it violates one of the things you're not allowed to ask for is the age.
Really? Well, back in 2007, when Mark Zuckerberg was 22 years old, he made a statement that young people are just smarter, and of course he's taken that back. But Facebook hiring record, however...
Incidentally, Hank, let me interrupt. The fact that he made that statement proved that young people are not smarter.
Well, let me just say this, okay? He's walked back on that. However, the average age of the Facebook employees is 29, according to a pay scale. And Facebook isn't an anomaly because at LinkedIn, the average age is 29. And the average age of the employee at Google and Amazon is 30, and Apple's 31. So Zuckerberg with Facebook is not the only person that is faced with this, you know, a lot of these charges about ageism. However, he says he doesn't believe in it, and I trust that, you know, he really believes in that. But yet, when you look at the average age of the employees there, they're all under the age of 31, 32.
Averages are a very funny thing. I remember when I was studying statistics in the university, and the professor tried to make a point. So he said, hypothetically, I'm reading the New York Times, and there on the front page it says, terrible car crash, entire family wiped out, average age was 50. And then reading down the story beyond the headlines, it turned out that a grandfather, age 100, had picked up a newborn child at the hospital and was bringing him home to his daughter. Average age, 50. Family wiped out. Make no sense.
However, when you're talking about a large company like Facebook and Google and Amazon, you're talking about lots of employees, so that it's much... You know, the average is based on a much larger population of employees, and you'll find that the median and average will probably be very close to each other.
Now, the thing is the median and average very close to each other? Do they hire on the basis of age, or are they hiring on the basis of technical knowledge, schooling? Now, when I went to college, Hank, there was no such thing as a computer major. When you went to college... You went to college a few years after I did. There was still no such thing as a computer major. If I needed only computer majors, and I know that you've been faced with a company that said, I don't care what your experience is, what your graduate degree is. And that's stupid. But therefore, you would not have gotten the job. It had nothing to do with your age. It had to do with the fact that your original undergraduate degree was not what they were looking at. It's a very difficult thing. Right now, I know of a job open on the West Coast with the specifications so detailed that I doubt if there's two human beings on Earth who have the capability of fulfilling it. Do they need all of those detailed specifications? No, absolutely not. But they were written into the job order.
I don't think it's... I think what you said is partly true, but I think the other part that is more important is that the people who do the interviewing, they seem to want to hire people like themselves. And once you get that, you never get off the dime on having some degree of diversity that gives it a much larger scope of experience.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you more from my personal experience. I couldn't agree more.
And what I find has been quite true, even though I don't have any numbers on it, and you may say is anecdotal, okay, is that you right now, and there's many cases of it, like with Disney and the University of California and so on, a number of companies are actually outsourcing, and the companies, you know, with their current employees are told, yes, we're outsourcing, but for you to get severance pay, you have to train the people. And when these people train the people, then now they're looking for work. They can't find work. And yet you can't tell me that they don't have the experience. You can't tell me that they're not working on something that's relevant.
I'm not going to tell you anything. What I'm going to say is experience shows that older people are prejudiced against for two reasons. One, they're older. Two, they're more experienced, and therefore they're used to getting a higher salary based on their knowledge and experience.
And dealing with people.
All of that. And when companies want to cut back, they can't say why they're really cutting back. Hank, we're sorry, we have to let you go. We're going to outsource all of this to Bangladesh, and you're going to have to train the people in Bangladesh, because while they're very good, they don't know what you're doing. What they don't tell you, Hank, is the guy in Bangladesh that you're training is going to be making $1.20 an hour instead of $10 an hour.
Well, let me ask you from a social point of view, because an economic point of view, how do we fix the problem?
Oh, it's very simple.
What's that?
I can't tell you.
Come on.
It's a secret.
No, come on. It's not a secret, okay?
It is a secret, Hank, because then we get into politics. And politics are controlling our lives. And as long as we can't agree, politically, then we can't agree economically either. It's a very tricky situation. I know that I can't remember the name of it. Was it Soylent Green or Soylent Blue? I forget. It was a science fiction movie. And they had an absolutely perfect solution. When you got to a certain age, you went into this chamber and you disappeared into a small block of Soylent Green food. You know what the Aleut people of the Arctic Circle used to do with their old people? They're really old people. They're invalided old people. They left them out on the ice, and it was a very peaceful way to die. You slowly froze to death. You fell asleep. How you handle the Chinese, not the current mainland Chinese, but the Chinese traditionally over the 5,000 or 6,000 years of their culture had a very simple way of handling the old people.
One generation takes care of the other.
Right now in this country, we have some communities that I know of called the Amish or the Anabaptist communities. And they have a thing where the family lives on a farm. Obviously, they're farmers. There's a big farmhouse. When the mother and father get to a certain age, the oldest child takes over the farm, and the mother and father moves into a smaller section of the house. It's called the Daddy House, or the grandfather house. And it's always, as you just said, the older generation takes care of the generation that's upcoming behind them. Well, that worked when we were living in a primitive time. And the only reason it doesn't work today, it has nothing to do with technology, is we don't care about our older people.
No, it's
it has to be that. There's no other logical reason.
No.
I know for a fact that you took care of your mother until she finally passed.
I took care of my father, too.
Well, I never knew him.
But Joe, let me tell you something. You know what has changed? The economy has changed, where it used to be you have the male, the father, earning. He was a major breadwinner, and now in this economy, you have both parents being a major breadwinner, and it has changed the whole structure of what we now call a family.
I disagree completely.
You disagree?
Absolutely. I know too many families where both parents are required to be breadwinners in order to support the children. And while they don't live on a farm, they live wherever they live and do whatever they do. And when it comes time to retire, they look to their children to support them, but they've also planned for retirement. They've got Social Security insurance. They've got Medicare insurance. And so people who tell me that Medicare is not good and Social Security is not good, I look at them and very honestly say, fine, are you personally willing to accept the responsibility for your parents? And every time I get the same answer.
The reason why I bring up the subject, Joe, is because last week Verizon made an announcement that they are closing I don't know if it's in how many states, but they're closing all their call centers in 5 states and all of the call centers in New York State. That is, they didn't specify a number. Wait. And I have to feel that you don't close down a call center because everything is perfect. You must have been, you're going to either outsource it or you're going to start up new call centers?
You know what, Hank? They didn't tell you, did they? Now, you're sitting here willing to assume the worst of Verizon.
Yes.
And I'm sitting here willing to say they're wonderful people. Well, Verizon looks out for their employees.
Yes. Now, you take the case
Incidentally, I don't believe that, but I'm taking that point of view.
Okay. Take the case of a call center personnel, right? They get laid off. What do?
They become call centers for Sprint.
If they're hiring.
Sprint is coming back, incidentally, very strong.
Really?
Yeah. Their business is improving. They found out something that some people knew, that your business is only as good as your business. If you don't have the service, you're not going to have business. They've improved their service. They've widened their network. They've come up with better product. And one of these days, that people are going to understand that you have to have something decent to sell, not just a name. I disagree with you on the 5 call centers. If they were closed for efficiency's sake, up till now Verizon is one of the more efficient large companies. I don't want to see it go down the toilet. I also don't want to see it become a company where everything is outsourced.
Well, it looks like it's happening, and I just don't know what to say. Let me
just give you one short piece of my philosophy. Henry Ford, who was not a very nice man, actually, I dislike everything about him, but he was asked why he pays his workers so much, and he said, they have to be able to afford to buy my cars.
Well, let me, we're running out of time, but let me just make go over one more topic, and that's Seagate. And everyone thinks that solid-state drives are, going to obsolete the regular hard disk drive. That's not true. The hard disk drive is going on the merry way, where now we're talking about in a 2.5-inch form factor, which is the notebook size of a hard disk drive, 6 terabytes.
What's the biggest solid-state of that size?
Not 6 terabytes, okay?
Not even close.
You might get 1 terabyte out of it, okay?
Well, obviously they're going to charge.
And there's a big cost.
Obviously they're going to charge a fortune for it, Hank.
So what we can see is that, there's a parallel requirement for both hard disk drives and solid-state drives, and I would suspect that, it's going to continue. Now, I just want to tell everyone that we have to sign off in another minute or two, that if you want to get a replacement, just be careful, because when you get a higher capacity drive, faster drive, and so on, make sure that you don't change the heat dissipation requirements, which could cause a problem in your system.
Hank, let me just tell the folks out there if they want to talk with us, if they want to communicate with us, they can send us email at pcradio@gmail.com, or if they're on Twitter, we're on Twitter at PCRadio212. So you can send it at that address or to the email address. We'd love to hear from you.
We can be heard each Wednesday at 6 p.m. on PRN.FM and at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on WBAI-FM 99.5. In the meantime, stay in touch, keep on computing, and our mantra is back up, back up, back up. On behalf of Joe King, our webmaster, Michael Horowitz, and myself, thank you for listening. Until we meet again, same time, same station next week, happy computing, and good night.